Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with me today. As we come back to COVID-19, and I don't know if anybody remembers the coronavirus panic that took place in the year 2020. Oh, wait, we're still in the year 2020. We're still in the middle of it.
We're in the middle of it. We're not even in the middle of it. It's going to go on forever.
That's what it seems like these days, doesn't it? Prior to the election, you remember the panic was that there was a second round of new cases for COVID-19.
Yep.
And the charts on CNN indicated that there was a virtual explosion of cases, worse than April. So that's the way the chart presented itself.
Right.
That our situation is far worse and we should shut everything down. Panic. And again, we wondered why all this came just 2 weeks before the election. And I did some calculations. You know, I've been working on these numbers. Now, of course, the hardest part is that we don't even know if any of these numbers are accurate.
We can't know.
So all you have is the numbers you're given. And so turns out the 7-day moving average on COVID-19 deaths, not new cases. And the problem with new cases is you have no idea how your new cases in present compared to new cases in March or April of last 6 or 8 months ago, because you have no denominator. You have no idea how many were tested. Until you have a number for how many were tested, you don't know if the problem is any worse or any better than it was 6-8 months ago. That's the problem. Now, the 7-day moving average on COVID-19 deaths, not just the new cases, but deaths, has settled around 1,000 per day. Now, that's the assumption that they're testing people who died. And we don't know if the death numbers are right. But assuming the death numbers were right, then we're right around 1,000 per day. Well, that's still down from 2,242 per day on the 7-day moving average back in April.
Right.
Is 1,000 less than 2,242?
Let me do the math here. Let me think. Okay. Let me get that my calculator out.
Yeah. Is 1,000 less than 2,242 per day?
Yes.
Yes. Like by a lot. What, 60% or whatever it is. So now it's up a little from 720 in October, but that's kind of in the dirt. The mainstream media reported that new cases were up 34% over the last week. Now, assuming 18 days average delay between testing and death, okay, we have a 57% increase in new cases as of the last 18 days, and only a 29% increase in death rates since October 23rd. Assuming there are no exaggerations on the death rate. So what this means is that the recent increase in new cases is overstated by double, at least. So all we're saying is all these charts that have been presented by CNN and most of the major media outlets
are off the chart,
but yeah. they present a case that is twice as bad.
Yeah, very dire.
As the situation really is, as demonstrated by the death rate. Now, I'm just doing simple math here on the data that I've been given. Now the data is probably flawed, but still, based on this data that I have, the overall deaths by COVID are down 65% from the April peak, and we should be celebrating. But we weren't. Instead, we were all remasked and re-quarantined and re-panicked. But nobody was saying, hey, praise God, the deaths are down 65% from the April peak. I didn't hear anybody on CNN saying that.
Well, you certainly won't hear him say praise God.
Well, you don't hear that very often these days either, do you? Prior to the election, the mainstream media initiated a panic around what they called a second round of new cases, an explosion of new cases of COVID-19. The charts on CNN indicated explosion of cases far worse than April, but no, it wasn't the case, my friends. It wasn't the case. You are being manipulated by the data. You are being manipulated by the data, I tell you. Now, the dust has cleared a little bit over 2020 and the COVID-19 panic. And here's what I've been waiting for. I have been waiting for this study called The Demographic Perspectives of the Mortality of COVID-19 and Other Epidemics. It was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science. This is no slouchy magazine. This is the National Academy of Science. The Proceedings is a collection of some of the most important reports that have been done in America on science. over the last year. So here, the PNAS.org, you can find it. It's publicly accessible on PNAS.org. It's called The Demographic Perspectives on the Mortality of COVID-19. What it does is it looks at the full year and says, what's the impact on the 2020 mortality produced or influenced by COVID-19?
Right.
So that's the question. So now that the dust is somewhat settled a bit, and of course, you're trusting the data on COVID-19 deaths, but the report has a number of helpful graphs comparing the mortality impact of COVID with Spanish flu, AIDS, and the opioid crisis, and all the rest. It's kind of helpful. Now, assuming the national death rate or death numbers for COVID-19 is at 250,000, so that's sort of worst case, including the comorbidity causes. That is, those people who have died of not just COVID-19, but they were also in an auto accident, or they also had the flu, or they also had obesity issues, what have you. Comorbidity numbers affecting COVID-19 deaths. The death rate's at 250,000, a little lower than that, but assuming 250,000. Here's what the report came out with, that only 0.08 years were lost on the overall national mortality rate relative to the non-epidemic mortality in 2020. Only 0.08 years lost, okay, contributed by COVID-19, and that assumes the comorbidity number of 250,000. So the impact on mortality in America in 2020 is estimated at 0.08 years. That compares to 1.26 years lost by the Spanish flu and 1.23 years lost by the opioid crisis. The opioid crisis is 15 times worse. The opioid crisis, friends, 15 times worse than COVID-19. Assuming the worst case, 250,000 lives lost to it in 2020, and 16 times worse. The Spanish flu was 16 times worse than COVID-19 of 2020. So the Spanish flu, 16 times worse, opioid crisis, 15 times worse. But assuming the death rate that does not include the comorbidity causes, the total deaths for the year was actually closer to 15,000. So this means that the Spanish flu was 250 times worse than COVID-19 in 2020. And the opioid crisis, 240 times worse than COVID-19 in 2020 when it comes to the overall mortality impact in a given year. So that's where we are, friends. We're talking orders of magnitude less serious than opioids and the Spanish flu. Orders of magnitude less serious.
And yet we have kowtowed. We have bowed the knee and we have said we will do whatever it takes to save lives. And one life saved is worth it. And the answer is, I got news for you. Everybody's going to die.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to die of something.
You use that excuse, you're going to have a socialist nanny state that will never stop.
Right.
Okay. Because people lose lives for a lot of things, not just for COVID-19, but for the Spanish flu, for every other flu, and for upper respiratory diseases, lower respiratory diseases. And friends, upper and lower respiratory diseases, the death rate for these still higher than COVID-19 in the year 2020. Okay. All right. So why are we all wearing masks? Why did we shut down the worldwide economy? What in the world happened? It was political. Can everybody say it was political? Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Will we shut down the world economy? Will we tyrannize every single person in the whole world with quarantine requirements and travel requirements and mask requirements and everything else to save one life?
C.S. Lewis made this comment. Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience.
Yeah, that's so what we got with the nanny state meeting the police state in the present situation, friends. That's where we are today. All right, so here we are. With Joe Biden, the Democratic presidential hopeful, urging the nation to universal mask wearing. This is a big deal for Joe.
It is.
He made
this very clear that that's what he's going to implement when he takes office, if he takes office.
NBC reports that Biden is planning to pressure all governors and mayors of major cities across America to mandate masks. And that's just not mandating masks at the grocery store. This is mandating masks
anytime you're
everywhere.
Outside.
Yeah. All right. Well, friends, one of the questions that people are asking is, will wearing masks save us from the disease and extend your life? Now, it's interesting. Sweden did not shut down. In fact, Swedish authorities actively discouraged people from wearing masks, which they said would spread panic. And they're often worn the wrong way and they can provide a false sense of safety. Some doctors who insisted on wearing a mask at work were reprimanded or even fired for wearing masks in Sweden. Did you know that?
I didn't know that part. I didn't know that they did recommend not wearing masks.
Yeah. Sweden didn't shut down, did not wear masks. They discouraged people from wearing masks. And Sweden's death rate for COVID-19 is better than the UK and France. And by the way, Sweden has a slightly older population than the UK on average. People come back, oh, yeah, their death rate's lower. That's because their people are younger. No, no. Swedes are older than the UKers. And yet they had a lower death rate and they weren't wearing masks.
Yeah. 2,300 years ago, Kevin, long before Islam, Arabs discovered that forcing people to cover their nose and mouths broke their will and individually and depersonalized them. It made them submissive. That's why they imposed on every woman the mandatory use of a fabric over her face. Then Islam turned it into the woman's symbol of submission to Allah, the king, and the man owner of the harem. Modern psychology explains it. Without face, we don't exist as independent beings. The child looks in the mirror between the ages of 2 and 3 and is discovered as an independent being. The mask is the beginning of deleting individuality. He who does not know history is what? Condemned to repeat it.
Over and over again.
Yep.
Well, friends, there's just a lot of issues that come to play. When we talk of health, there is something of a health fetish. There is something of a desire to live forever. There is something of a looking to governments to solve all problems and to extend life expectancy, I guess, another 6 months. By the way, governments tend to do just the opposite. Mm-hmm. They don't fix that issue. Just a couple other data points also that I think you need to remember. A lot of times, you know, the 0.08 years that you lose with COVID-19, and by the way, that's just for 1 year. The next year, it goes away. So, and then you get another disease that will affect life expectancy for, you know, 0.04 years, 0.03 years, 0.1 year, and so forth. So you're always going to have your life expectancy impacted by some disease or other.
Why is that, Kevin?
Well, it's because Adam made a very big mistake in the garden.
Yeah. Sin resulted in the fall.
That's right.
And the punishment for that was?
Was death. And death. Praise be to God, we have life through our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to deal with the problem of life or death by giving us life through his death and by his resurrection. So, friends, of course, all of this is something of a distraction from the gospel, too. So let's remember that. A couple other things, though, relating to health. The unhealthiest nation in the world is South Africa. Believe it or not, they have a terrible, terrible life expectancy.
Wow.
But they say that their scores are very, very low for health because of obesity, alcohol, and a few other reasons. And then you've got St. Lucia, which is the second worst nation in the world for health. And this according to one particular metric, but their problem is binge drinking. Bulgaria is another problem. They've got blood pressure, depression issues, and drinking. So it seems to me that sin may play a part. Excess when it comes to alcohol or even eating. Friends, these are the sorts of things that affect life expectancy. Depression. That is not enjoying the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ has an impact on life expectancy, at least according to these surveys. Healthiest nations in the world are Mediterranean nations of Spain and Italy, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Japan. By the way, why do you think that is? They're all on the sea.
Well, they eat a lot of pasta.
They're supposed to be eating a lot of fruits, vegetables, fish, whole grains, et cetera, et cetera. But friends, here, when it really comes down to it, remember COVID only affected life expectancy by 0.08 years. You know the difference between Singapore or Sweden and South Africa's life expectancy? 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a difference between 84 years. If you live in Sweden or Singapore, you're living 84 years. If you live in South Africa, you live 64 years, 20 year spread. So, in other words, 0.08 kind of gets lost in the dirt.
Right.
As you compare the other factors that play into life expectancy.
Right.
At the end of the day, how in the world could we ever know what would contribute to longer life unless God told us? How would you know for sure that people who ate 3 eggs a day would end up with more heart disease later in life? I just wrote this for my 6th grade biology life science course for 11-year-olds. How would you know for sure that people who ate 3 eggs a day would end up with more heart disease later in life? There are many theories about diet. What is a good diet? What kind of foods would make for a bad diet? Some people say eggs are good for you. Other people say eggs are bad for you. Of course, you have to test out your theory. So you'd get 1,000 people to agree to eat 3 eggs a day for 20 years. Then you'd have to ask another set of 1,000 people not to eat eggs for 20 years. Suppose that 300 of the egg eaters succumbed to heart disease and died at an age less than the national average. And then suppose that only 100 of the non-egg eaters succumbed to heart disease and suffered early deaths. Would this prove that eating 3 eggs a day was bad for you? But what if the egg eaters were more likely to smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey? Or what if the non-egg eaters tended to exercise more than egg eaters during the 20 years that you were conducting the test?
Those egg eaters.
Science can give you a hint about truth, but there's always the possibility the theory is still wrong.
Yeah, it's not a direct correlation, usually.
So what do you do, friends, when it comes to the impossibility of blocking factors in your experiments on human behavior? What do you do? What do you do when it comes to the questions of longevity, life expectancy, and such? You know, God gives us a clue. I'm going to leave you with this. God gives us a clue. Would you trust God or would you trust my experiment on egg eaters and non-egg eaters? Would you trust God or would you trust all of the pundits that take this position or that position on this diet or that diet? Who would you trust when it comes to issues like life expectancy? God gives us a clue. Comes in Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. I wonder if that one would tie in. Here's the deal. God gave us something to go on when it comes to longevity. And that is little boys and girls, big boys and girls, who honor their parents, on average, live longer. There you go. Now, there's never been a study in which scientists say we are going to grab all those people who honor their parents and look at their life expectancy, and then we're going to look at all of those who did not honor their parents and compare the results.
That would be an interesting study.
It would be. But I'm just going to trust God on this one, friends. People are thinking, oh, but, you know, can't we just go with the wives' tales? Can't we just go with the latest diet theory? No. Let's start with this one. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord God gives you. And do remember that the same commandment is repeated in Ephesians chapter 6, isn't it?
Right.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, and you will live long upon the earth. Okay, so there it is. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament, it's God's word. You got to believe God's revelation. You got to accept God's revelation on this. And also, hey, friends, there's a fair amount in the book of Proverbs on living long. It's interesting. Actually, the wisdom of God trumps all of the scientists in the world. Why? Because when you come back to God's revelation, friends, you finally have a surety and a certainty. You can't get it with science. You'll always wind up with a probability. You'll always wind up with a possibility that you're wrong, or you're overstating the case, or even understating the case. But if it's God's revelation, would you go with it? If it's God's revelation, would you say, there's 200 proof truth right there? Go with the 200 proof truth, friends. Go with the word of God, first and foremost.
And be encouraged. Again, I'm going to go back to C.S. Lewis. He said this, God who foresaw your tribulation has specially armed you to go through it, not without pain, but without stain.
Trust God. Trust God, trust his word. And friends, give your children the book of Proverbs. That's why we did a 3-volume set called the Proverbs Family Bible Study Guides, available at generations.org. It's basically our core curriculum for the Christian Discipleship Curriculum Project. That's right, the very core of it. People say, well, what would you encourage me to get if I was going to start with some of your curriculum for our family? I can't afford, you know, all 12 grades. Just give me something. Give me something for $30. Give me something for $40. I would encourage you to the Proverbs Bible Study Guide set as the core curriculum. Why? Because it's God's curriculum. It's the very basic stuff that God gave to us by divine revelation through Solomon. It's really God's book of wisdom. And so if, you know, you're looking for wisdom, you're looking at some place to start as you disciple your children according to God's system of education, and you're trying to give your children knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, well, where would you find knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for a young man or a young woman? Where would you find that in all of human literature? Where would you find it in the Word of God? You would find it in the book of Proverbs. That's why the Proverbs Bible Study Guides, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.